for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday afternoon, December 28, 2004. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is teacher on this tape.
Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you. We ask for an outpouring of your Spirit now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Loose your spirit of wisdom and knowledge and counsel and might and fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Just thank you and praise you and bless you, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding will be open and will behold you in your glory and that which you have for us with the hope of our calling, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Just touch us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. We just bind up the enemy which try to steal the thoughts out of his mind. We bind up the spirit of stupor and slumber in the name of Jesus. And we loosen the spirit of attendance. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, yesterday, I talked about the Antichrist spirit. I talked a little bit about it and about salvation by grace and about familiar spirits. And so we will go now back to divination. We said that rejection has a twofold response. One's in fear and one's in pride. And pride manifests itself by rebellion, by stubbornness, by scorning, and by bitterness. And we said that bitterness and rebellion come from the same Greek word. And if you look up for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, spoken of in 1 Samuel 15:22, you'll see the word is mere. And it's the same word, it means bitterness. It can mean both bitterness or rebellion. The two are close related. You can't be rebellious without getting bitter. And you can't be bitter without getting rebellious. And we said that the word witchcraft there was better defined as divination. Because it meant the casting of lots. And the most common form of divination in the country today is astrology. The poll shows that 50% of the newspaper readers read the daily astrology column. And you ask them what their sign is, and they will tell you what sign of the zodiac they were born under. And so we look at astrology. Astrology is first mentioned in the Bible in Isaiah 47, 13, 14. Let's open our books. Isaiah 47, 13, 14. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Now let the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you, for what shall come upon you? Behold, they shall be as stubble, and the fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. Anybody ask you about a verse for astrology, there it is. Not the horoscope, there it is. Now, lots of verses talk about the host of heaven, worshiping the host of heaven, which means astrology. But they will say, no, no, that's not what it means. But here it says astrology. It's sort of hard to argue with this one. Now, that was written 680 B.C., if you believe that all of Isaiah was written by Isaiah. Now, if you're in the New Liberal Church, they believe that Deuteronomy Isaiah was written after they came back from the disbursement into Babylon, because it contains a prophecy in there saying that Cyrus is going to set them free. And Cyrus was the king who issued the order 200 years later for them to go back. And since the liberal church does not believe that God knows what's going to happen in the future and can prophesy it, they have to believe that this was written after the fact. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get into that. But that was written. Now, a number of people think that astrology predates that a good bit. We know that the ancient people studied the heavens because they planned according to the signs of the times. And before they went into captivity, the Jewish calendar was based on, we believe that the first month occurred was they set the first, that Passover, that the first month occurred at the first new moon after the spring solstice, when they were, equinox, the spring equinox, when the shadow, when the days were identical, when there was just as much time where the light and dark were equal. That's called the equinox. That's March the 22nd. And the first new moon after that was the first day of the first, was the first day of the first month. And therefore, Passover always fell on the first full moon. And so they started the new year every year because they watched the spring equinox. And they probably used to measure the shadows to be able to tell. But when they went into Babylon, they adopted the Babylonian calendar, which was also based 29 and a half day months. They had a 30-day month and a 29-day month and a 30-day month, a 29-day month. But every 3 years, they inserted an extra 29-day month, or six times, or seven times in 18 years. And that calendar was accurate within 1 second for 100 years. And that's the calendar the Jews use today. But the people who figure the prophecy for the rapture, they don't seem to understand that. They have other ways they figure it. They don't use the Babylonian calendar. They go back and say that the Jews are using the Babylonian calendar today, and that's the calendar in which Daniel's prophecies were given. But there you go back and say that the Jewish year was 10 days shorter, and therefore we got to figure these years as 10 days shorter, not realizing, of course, that the feasts are on fixed days, and if you move the days back, then the feast of all agricultural feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles, the ingathering of the fall crop, the grape and the olive, and you move that backwards in 10 days a year, and in 10 years, you see, you're moving it back 3 months, and in 20 years, you're moving it back 6 months, and therefore, you are in gathering the grape and the olive at the time you're planting your wheat in the spring. They don't understand that sort of thing, though, because it doesn't make their calendar work out right. It's just when, as I pointed out, says, you ain't going to change my theology. I said, man, I wouldn't attempt to waste my time doing such a thing. I just don't want you to get embarrassed because somebody's going to get up and point that out to you, and you're not going to be able to answer it. Amen. I just thought you better be prepared. He said, where'd you get all this information? I'm in Encyclopedia Britannica. They just don't bother to look things up. Well, praise God, let's move on. At this time, it was believed that 600 B.C., it was believed that the sun rotated around the earth, and the planets rotated around the earth, and the stars rotated around the earth, because they all saw them rotate. And so they thought everything rotated around the earth. And therefore, and they thought the position of these heavenly bodies controlled the destiny of human beings. And the spiritual powers that control the movement of the stars and the moon, control the destiny of people on earth. And they could tell by where that planet was is what was going to happen. And it stayed that way in Plato, and then later, year 427 B.C., he was born, he was 427 to 379 B.C. was Plato, and after him came Aristotle at 384 to 322 B.C. And they began to apply the laws of physics. And they divided up the elliptical orbit of the sun and the moon and the planets around the earth into 12 30-degree segments called houses. And each house contained a planet and a constellation. And, let's see, they created an absolute division between the external circular motion of the heavenly bodies and the limited linear motion of the four sublunar elements, namely fire, water, air, and earth. And they could see that the elliptical element, the apparent orbit of the sun, was divided into 12 equal parts of zodiac signs, each consisting of 30 degrees. Each sign was the domicile of the house of a planet and subdivided into various parts. heart. Each zodiac sign has a special relationship with the part of the human body. And the 12 signs were further divided into four triplicates, each of them covering one of the four sublunar elements. And numerous pairs of opposites, male, female, hot, cold, night, and day, were connected with each sign. You see, the chart became so complicated and so many variables, it became difficult for the human mind to grasp all the variables. And so you needed a familiar spirit to help you grasp all of these variables. I mean, when you started to figure up something, you see there were so many variables that you had to fast. And they still do this today. And this stayed the same until about 100 B.C. when they were refined. And now in the 17th century, 17 centuries later, we find that the earth is not the center of the universe. And the stars and the sun don't rotate around the earth at all. Only the moon does. But they haven't changed the charts. It's not got the same charts, you understand. And so we find these, there's some, so let's look at the different types of astrology. First is that the general studies, they look at the vernal equinoxes, the eclipses, the planetary conjunctions, and so forth, and that's significant. And the genealogy, you look at the time and place a person was born, and then you're supposed to be able to look at these charts and say what's going to happen to them. All these complicated charts. That's inductive, may or may not require. Now, the interpretive divination is the cathartic, which means beginning of the source. Determine whether or not a chosen moment is astrologically conductive to success of course of action begin at that moment. And this requires a special interpretive thing. Now, I had a lady, I took care of her children, and she had a business, very successful business, but she was a spiritualist. And she went to her astrologer, her spiritual counselor, and she built a new building, and he said, you can move in on this day, but you must start at sundown and be moved in before sunrise. So she had to hire three moving companies to be there, and they looked at the paper to see what day officially was the sunset, and what day, and they had all that moving done in that time. And she did that. Didn't help her business any. She eventually lost it. Intuitive divination provide an answer for a client based on the situation they have in the body at the moment posing the question. And so they have to have purification and fasting and so forth. You see how foolish all this is? But what is the spiritual power behind all of this? Is it just a bunch of foolishness or is there any spiritual power? Well, let's see. Astrology is based on the worship of the gods or the goddesses which control the movement of the heavenly bodies and hence the destiny of men. Those who consult her are asking these gods for wisdom and knowledge. The triune god considers this spiritual adultery. The goddess of goddesses are the planets are controlled by Ishtar. Or another word is Venus. She's the mother of all gods. Okay? The sun is controlled by Shamash, the moon by Sin, and the Weba, the sublunar elements, fire, water, air, and earth, are controlled by Adad. Okay? Now, the most powerful goddess is Ishtar. She's the great mother goddess. She's known by many names. Astarte, Aphrodite, Ashtar, the bride of heaven, Asherah, Diana, Celebi, Tonata, Venus, just to name a few of them. But her most recognized name is Jezebel. Now, Jezebel, she's married to the chief god El, who's a kindly retiring gentleman, and who has delegated the moving, the male role to his son, Baal. Better known as Baal or Baal. B-A-L, B-A-A-L. I always pronounce it Baal, but they pronounce it Baal on my tapes, on my Bible tapes. So you name it, you pay your money, take your choice. But the controlling god is the great mother god, Venus, or Jezebel. Now you want to read about Jezebel? Get the book back there, The Names of Jezebel. Now, when you consult astrology, you're inviting this nice lady into your life. That's who you're inviting in. Jezebel. Isn't that nice? Okay? So there is spiritual power behind it. Unfortunately, I can't put the flow chart up for the spirit, for the fruit of divination. Desire the fruit, of divination into two major branches, religious spirits and idolatry or whoredom. These divisions are for discussion purposes only, since both of these spirits fall into one and are closely related, and they're a substitute for the true anointing and Antichrist spirit. Let's look at 1 John 2:18. All of you have heard of the Antichrist spirit, you know, who's coming at the end time, the beast and the false prophet and the man of perdition. Then he, you know, there's a, but let's look at this. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last hour, and you've heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which you know this is the last hour. So there are many Antichrist spirits. This was written 2,000 years ago. Okay? Now let's look at 1 John 4. Starting with verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. Okay, so the spirit of Antichrist is here. Now, what does the spirit of Antichrist mean? I mean, I always thought anti meant against. But in the Greek, anti means substitute or instead of. Christus means anointing. Jesus Christus. Jesus, the anointed one. Or the Messiah. You want to use Hebrews Messiah, Greek is the anointed one. And so when you see Christ in the Bible, it means the Christus, the anointing. Now you've got to look at the context to see whether it's speaking of Jesus Christ or whether it's speaking of the Holy Spirit. And so you've got this substitute for the Holy Spirit. Antichrist spirit. The substitute anointing. False anointing. Now, you know, if it's a false anointing, it's against Jesus. It's against Him. But I want you to know it's a false anointing. Who prophesies in the church it's a false anointing? Jezebel. Ah. Okay. Now, let's look at that. Now, all these Antichrist spirits, but they have false, they have different manifestations and they have different strengths. You know, demons are like dogs. I was born down in Alabama. And everybody had a front porch. You know, your front porch was about this high off the ground so the wind could blow under it. And when you went up to knock on the door, you could hear a dog under there barking. And you wonder what kind of dog that was. He just raised and sang. He might be a little old feist dog about like this, you know, just ball mouth. Might be a pit bull, too, and going to tear you to shreds. You don't know listening to his voice. How strong he is, how big he is, how he's going to manifest. The demons are the same way. I mean, some of the littlest, weakest demons got the biggest mouth on them. And they just, some of the strongest strong men don't say anything. They're just quiet. But you see the results of the fruit in the lives. And they have lots of underlings around that they'll sometimes send out. They just sit back and they keep feeding you these little demons. And you keep trimming the tree, you know, trimming the branches off. So you get back there, he ain't got no support system, but he all by himself. He got to come out. So demons are, and so these demons have, now, what kind of manifestation you see depends on what kind of familiar spirit you have assigned to your family. What kind of spirit did the devil assign to your family? What kind of infirmity spirit did he assign? You're going to get cancer? You're going to get high blood pressure? You're going to get stomach ulcers? You're going to get a heart attack? You're going to get a stroke? And, you know, when I was first started in medicine, we used to take a history. What'd your daddy die of? What'd your granddaddy die of? What'd your grandma die of? You got any history of this, this? You got any arthritis? You got any high blood pressure and so forth? And you name up all these diseases to see whether or not they're running the family. Because if they're running the family, you're probably going to see them here. Okay. But if you do that, take that same kind of history, you find out what kind of demon somebody got in their family. And just alter the questions you asked. And you get I used to go through and know exactly what I was going to cast, see what I was going to see before we started praying. Just by sitting there and talking to them for an hour. and filling it out. Now, you take a yellow pad and fill it out. And we did this. When we first started deliverance, we just, Sue said, I'm going to open my house for deliverance. And so she opened the home, and we stand. She went out and roped two or three people in. I mean, Sue was out roping people in. And the first thing we know, we got folks knocking on the door from 2 miles away. Here, you people cast out demons, you know. You... Whoa! God. Man, we just had all kind of folks coming in there wanting prayer. I mean, the word got out. It went out. I mean, just God just brought in all sorts of people for prayer. A lot of whom got a lot of help. A lot of them we never saw again. But that went on for 6 or 8 years. And then suddenly, got to cut it off. He just cut it off. And we went another way. I started teaching. I still continued to pray deliverance. And I started teaching twice a week. And we had prayer sessions for people who needed it and pray for it. But we didn't have this massive inflow of folks from 200 miles away anymore. And most of it was there within the church. And we saw lots of fruit. And I was coming down here 6 times a year. I was going to Win Worldlies 4 times a year. And I was praying deliverance twice a week, sometimes 3 times a week at home. And God was good. Now, how does it... The first thing that you see is Antichrist spirits. Where in the Bible does it say that a Christian can have a spirit other than the Holy Spirit in him? Where does it say a spirit-filled Christian can have a spirit other than the Holy Spirit in him? Does it say that in the Bible in place, just flat out? Now, people will ask you this, and they say, I got the Holy Spirit in me, and because nothing can live in there with the Holy Spirit. I'm free of it. I got no demons in me. And yet he's walking in pornography, you know. He's addicted to pornography five hours a day. And all kind of other problems. But I got the Holy Spirit in me. I couldn't possibly have anything else in me. That's not what the Bible says, Pastor. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, that you bear with me in a little folly, indeed you do bear with me. That's verse 1. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, if I betrothed you to one husband, that I present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That says you're going to be you are betrothed to Jesus Christ. Somebody asked you, where does it say you're going to be the bride of Christ? Right there. I have betrothed you a chaste virgin to Christ. And what do you mean, that chaste virgin? I mean, you ain't out there with no other spirit but the Holy Spirit. But I fear that lest a serpent, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Mm-hmm. Or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. In other words, you may well accept it. And what's he saying? Another Jesus. Now, who preaches another Jesus? Those nice people from the watchtower that knock on your door? They preach in another Jesus. Their Jesus is Michael the Archangel. And they know their Bible real well. Much better than most Christians. They know the verses that they want to use. They have a little trouble with telling you why Jesus is Michael the Archangel. They don't really hit you with that to start with. The Mormons will come to your door. Two nice young men. Sometimes they're now young ladies. Used to be young men, now it's young men, two young ladies. And they'll knock on your door, and they say, we are from the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. I said, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. Oh, we're Christian? No. Your Jesus is different from my Jesus. No. I said, your Jesus was born on some planet out yonder in space somewhere. And he came to this earth. Uh-huh. And he is the devil's younger brother. The Mormons believe that Jesus is the younger brother of Lucifer. That's the reason Lucifer was mad, because Jesus got to come redeem the people. And so Lucifer rebelled. That's Mormon doctrine. That's another Jesus. Other unity people will invite you in. And they will tell you that Jesus was a fine man and a great teacher who gave us an example to follow, but he was a human being. Other Gnostic churches will tell you that Jesus was really just sort of a phantom, you know, and he just sort of walked along and he didn't leave no footprints in the sand. You just thought he was a human. And he wouldn't really get nailed up on the cross. They nailed Simon of Cyrene who was toting the cross. Well, Jesus they put up there was Simon of Cyrene. That's the Gnostic gospel. Oh, they're really talking about the Gnostic gospel. They heard about the gospel of Thomas, the lost gospel of Thomas. Have y'all heard that yet? Huh? I saw it on television the other night. Yeah, I was sitting in the motel and I was trying to find the Weather Channel and we hit this Discovery Channel. And there they were talking about the history of the lost gospel of Thomas, the Gnostic gospel. Written about the year 200. My son was telling me that, then told me the history of it. He was there. But that's the Gnostic gospel. I won't go into that. We'll get to Gnosticism because that was one of the heresies. And so those are all in the Christian sciences. That's neither Christian nor scientific. They say Jesus' blood was no more efficient than any other blood. All these people teach another Jesus, people in the cults, they deny the humanity and divinity of Jesus or the efficient atonement of his son. They're not saved. And they have an antichrist spirit. Now, anybody will tell you, if you go overseas and you talk to the missionaries, they will tell you that in their church, if they have one of their people goes to the witch doctor for a healing and gets healed, he is never able to stand in faith again. Lee Nostrom, who's a deliverance worker and pastor that I knew, used to minister him, told me the story of a lady who had gone to a Christian science practitioner, who's a spiritualist, and received a healing for arthritis. But she could never get saved. She prayed the sinner's prayer, confessed Jesus as Lord. All the necessary things according to the four steps, you know. But her life didn't change. There was no change. There was no evidence that this lady had Jesus in her heart. You know, you can say the words. But if God hadn't given you a spirit of repentance, I mean, you're just saying words. If the Holy Spirit's not drawing you in, and she couldn't get saved. And so he talked to her, and he found that she'd been healed of arthritis by a Christian science practitioner. And so he asked her to renounce the healing and so that he could cast out this Antichrist spirit on her. And then she'd get saved. So she renounced the healing. He said, when did she renounce that healing? He said, her arthritis started back. Her hands began to just do like this. She accepted Jesus. Jesus came into her heart. And he healed her. And she got saved. And her life changed. She had credible evidence of salvation. Credible evidence of salvation in her life. The trouble is, you see, they had a strong Antichrist spirit there that blocked salvation. And that's a very powerful spirit. That's all I can say. It's just a very powerful spirit. The missionary will tell you that once they get that spirit on them, they're never able to stand in faith again. They fall away. Once they've gone to the witch doctor and they've gotten a healing, that powerful Antichrist spirit comes in and steals the anointing. That's the Antichrist spirit. And it comes with the cults. Now, whether or not the cults will suck in saved Christians who are accepting this Antichrist spirit, and they will fall away from the church and believe the lie. Now, whether their name is still in the book of life, I'm going to let Brother Pittman tell you tonight. I'm not, you know, that once saved, always saved doctrine, you know. I tell you, folks get angry over that one. I'm glad I don't have to judge. You know, we all going to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're going to answer for those things of how we spent our lives, of what our emphasis has been, and the words that have come out of our mouth. When I stood before him, on the great television screen in the sky. I didn't say that. And on the great television screen in the sky, he said, he played that tape in there. You know, it says all things, all in the books are opened, you know. And that word book means a scroll. And it was all scrolled up on his electromagnetic tape there in that vision. And there it was. There I was. Oh, yeah, I did say that, didn't I? I did say that, didn't I? Huh? And it says that you know, that's the way it says in the Bible. It's Matthew 12. You'll be judged by every idle word that comes out of your mouth. Watch your tongue. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Repent and turn away from it. Well, I'm getting away. Okay. Now, let's look at Colossians. Now, in Colossians was a church that Paul had never been there. But he wrote them and he thanked God for them. But what had happened in the Colossian church, some Gnostics had come in. And they came in and they said, you know, the spirit is good. And the flesh is evil. And God is all spirit and he's good. He could never handle evil flesh. Why, God is so good and so pure, he could never touch that. Well, what he did was he cast out an immolation of himself, which was about 90% God and 10% something else. And that immolation cast out another immolation, which was about 80% of God and 20% something else. And so we got about 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 immolations later. We're down here and it's got a little God in it and something else. And it is ignorant of God, really. And some of them hostile to him. But it could then create man and work with this evil flesh because it's so far from God. Well, how does a poor man get back to God? Well, it requires special knowledge and esoteric knowledge and notice of the right rituals and the right passwords. To be able to work your way up those immolations, past those false immolations to get back to God. Now, poor Anthony, he got to work for a living, you know. He working 12 hours a day to keep food on the table for his family and a shelter on the head. And he don't have time to study all of these special rituals and prayer words and do all this fasting, esoteric learning to be able to get to God. So he hires a professional priest who's going to do it for him. And so you develop an ecclesiastical authority who stands between man and God. And y'all know a church like that? I'd raise one. Got run out of church when I said I could go to God without going through the priest. And so Paul says to them in Colossians 2:9, he said 2:8, and this is the great Christology letter that tells you the person of Jesus Christ. And he says to him, beware lest anyone cheat you or take you captive through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles. You got an old King James that says rudiments of the world, not according to God. Okay? And you look over in verse 20 and it says, therefore if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why are you going through living and subject yourself through regulations? Now this word principle for is an interesting word. Strachion. Strong's number 4444. Now, in the Greek, that means things in an order like the ABCs. Or, in Paul's time, it applied to the powers that controlled the movement of the heavenly bodies. The planets, the stars, and her name was Celebi. And then the others that I have named. But the chief lady, Celebi. And she controlled the Gnostic spirit. She's an Antichrist spirit, you see, coming in through this Gnosticism. And they're putting in all kind of rules and regulations and special feast days and special prayers and praying to angel intermediary intercessors, intermediaries, and all kind of rules, which are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Verse 23. For these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. You know, it's interesting. Gnosticism, I can... They talk books on Gnosticism. But, you see, if the flesh was evil, you had to beat it into submission all the time. You had to mistreat it. You had to fast, you know, and mistreat your body to beat it into submission. Or, conversely, if it was evil, then what happened to it didn't really matter, so you could do anything you wanted to for it, and then you gave yourself a license to sin. You could do anything you wanted. It didn't matter. You could have it either way in Gnosticism. So, you see, Jezebel comes in. From the Colossian church, the spirit of Antichrist, Jezebel and supporting spirits enter through false teachers, bringing the people into bondage, turning them away from the simplicity that was in Jesus Christ to angels, angelic mediators, men who knew the proper ritual, prayers, and passwords to reach God. Apparently complex rules and regulations for worship and prayer and feast days were being used, but they were no value against indulgence of the flesh. In this climate of rules and regulations and angelic, the spirits of pride and self-worship and witchcraft control and false gifts and false ministry abound. And since the rules and regulations are no value against indulgence of the flesh, many works of the flesh are seen. Remember, the Antichrist spirit always brings with it the spirit of deception. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 2. Know in the latter days that many shall turn to doctrines of demons, giving heed, seducing spirits and doctrine of demons and turning away from the flesh, from the faith. Okay. But they having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they'll sear your conscience and you can't see that you're in sin. But they don't do that. They seduce you into sin and then they condemn you for it. Mm-hmm. And bring you into condemnation. And that's what Jezebel does. And Jezebel is in the church today prophesying. And you know more than half of what you hear in most charismatic Pentecostal churches is a bunch of gibberish. It's either flesh, out of, you know, I don't want to misunderstand me. Let their heart deceive them. Okay? And they want something so bad that they will prophesy to their own spirit and think it's the Holy Spirit. I've seen this happen to evangelists that I know real well that are really gifted. But when they came, this one lady, she had founded this church and she left and she came back and the pastor who was running was having all kind of problems. He was losing members and so forth. And she prophesied to him. And she got, and she prophesied first for his family, what was going to happen with his family. And then she got into the church and she got into her own heart. And I asked a bunch of elders, said, you know, she's out of the Spirit. Did she know that? I said, no. She's prophesying out of her own spirit, not the Holy Spirit. But she was telling him how the church was going to prosper and it was going to grow under his leadership and so on. It didn't. You know, if it didn't come to pass, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. But she's a wonderful lady and I love her. But she let her heart deceive her. And then you got religious spirits who will come into the church. And they will prophesy how much, they will prophesy in church how much God loves you. This lady will give a prophecy every day. Every Sunday she prophesies how much God loves the people and how God's going to hold His Spirit. You know, just love and affection. Sounds real, it's perfectly scriptural. Only trouble is it didn't come from God. But it establishes her as accepted as a prophecy from God, establishes her as a prophet. And then she's got this little private prayer group where she ministers. And Jezebel really comes forward, but she is secure there because there is nobody there to discern. She is a spiritual authority. And she controls those people through prophecy. But she gets her authority by the pastor allowing her to continue to prophesy, although it is not scripturally wrong. It is not from God. The pastor does not discern that. And then you got the person who just prophesies. They, you know, they are small and insecure, you know. And they have a religious spirit, you know. They have a... Well, they just prophesy. And they prophesy love, you know, because they want attention. And then you got the true Jezebel, who will prophesy like the other sister I told you. And sometimes this Jezebel came into the church, and she had started as a true. I mean, she was really anointed of God and had a ministry to women, and she did very well. But the Antichrist, the pride lifted up, and the Antichrist spirit came in. You know, envy and selfish ambition is demonic. It says so in James 3:13-14. Wherever there is envy and selfish ambition, confusion and every evil thing will be there. This is wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, soulish, demonic. And she allowed this Antichrist spirit to come in, and it just sort of snuck in there and began to substitute itself for the Holy Spirit. And within 6 months, she was listening to this thing, calling it God. And she came to the pastor and said that God had called her aside to be a prophet. She'd been fasting for 3 weeks. And she had a special revelation for the church, and she was going to give him part of it. And when he did this, she gave him the rest of it. He asked me what I thought. I said, well, you don't know that Jezebel. And he said, you got any books on Jezebel? Well, I do have a book on Jezebel. I gave him Jim Cross' book on Jezebel. And I gave him Steve Bell's book that he wrote that was in Win Worldies. I said, my God, the description of her hands. Yeah, that's Jezebel. But she had come in. And so this Gnostic, so here we have, okay, now let's go on over here to the Galatians now. You see it here in Colossians. Now let's look in Galatians. You know, now the Galatian church, Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthians, and the Corinthian church had so many problems in it. It had incest. It had divisions. It had contentions. It had folks getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. It had all kind of things. But Paul spent a whole chapter thanking God for them and praying for them and saying how wonderful they were. They didn't come behind in any gift. And here comes the Galatian church, and some folks have gone in there, and Paul says six verses, and then he says, I am surprised that you are so soon falling away. Amen. He doesn't even take time to pray for them. He's so upset. And what was this? What came from it? Legalism. He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father, verse 3, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God the Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And then he spends the next two verses establishing his credentials as an apostle. Because these false teachers had said he wasn't really an apostle. He didn't have any authority. And then he says, oh foolish, chapter 3, verse 1, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? And that word, according to Dr. Derek Prince, means to be smitten by the evil eye, which is a standard Greek idiom to be placed under a curse. Now the Galatians were spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers. They didn't have any other kind in the first century. Pentecostal, spirit-filled believers. Under a curse! Anybody tell you that a Christian can't be cursed? Read this verse to them. I had a preacher stand up and have my face. He said, you can't do it. I said, well, I've written a book on it. I said, too bad the Bible doesn't agree with you. He said, where is it? I showed it to him. Oh, that's because they were in sin. I said, yeah, but they're still spirit-filled believers. Or you believe when you sin, you lose your salvation. Now, you can't have it both ways, Pastor. Well, I said, well, that's right. Sin causes cannot light you. You know, curse causes cannot light you. You've got to have a sin. But there's a sin there, and they were cursed. So he walked off. And so the next year, I was back at this same meeting, and they let him speak, and he got up and talked an hour and a half, saying a Christian couldn't be cursed. And you know, I started to rebuke him from the pulpit, but then I couldn't do that to the pastor that invited me. I just got up and read Galatians to him when I got a chance to talk. Said, I want to show you something here in the Bible. Anybody ever tells you a Christian can't be cursed, you just ask them about the Galatian church. Now we'll move on. Okay. And so he said, iron legalism. Now, after he cites all of his authority, and he says, who's bewitched you? He goes to chapter 4, verse 3. Even so, we were children in bondage to the elements of the world. That's the same word there as in Colossians. To the elements. And back in verse 9, after you've known God, or rather known by God, how has you turned again to the weak and bellowing elements which you desire to be in bondage? That's Jezebel again, saying you've got to add something to the gospel. You people got to get circumcised. And you got to keep the law. The whole law. In other words, adding more to it. So iron legalism. And so Jezebel will come in and put you under iron legalism. The Antichrist spirit will come in. And that world system, praise you, Lord God. Pharisees' works will add external works that can be measured. Spirit is accepted. It brings pride because your works and your effort with pride comes to envy and selfish ambition, which is demonic. These are accompanied by a critical spirit, impatience, intolerance, and rage. Also seen the spirit of perfectionism. Conversely, since you can't keep the requirements, you in your own effort, it brings you self-condemnation and failure. Remember, a person who is saved and seeking Jesus Christ to know His will, God will complete and perfect the good works He started in, that a lively faith will produce good works. Praise you, Lord God. And so those are the Antichrist spirits within the church. Now, there's this Antichrist spirits come in spiritualism, too. And then there's a New Age. And then there's mediums, and there's hypnotists, and all of these are Antichrist spirits. They're false anointings. But we're going to stop here because I think that I don't want to start anymore. But these things will bring you into bondage. And the end times, it says, that all of these elements will be melted and burned in fervent fire, it says in Peter. I used to wonder how you're going to get rid of elements, because I thought about sodium and potassium and chloride, you know? In fervent fire, how you're going to burn them up and get rid of them, because they only oxidize them and change the form. But then when I looked up that word and showed me what it meant, then I went back and I realized that then that's what's going to happen when they sort of drop them down into that fiery lake. Praise God. They're going to melt away. I asked Brother Tommy Cook if that's what it meant, and Tommy said, yep, that's what it means. Because he was my end time specialist. I am not an end time specialist. As I said before, I'm interested in the kingdom of God today. Righteous, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You come into the kingdom of God, you'll be ready for whatever comes. You'll be ready. Jesus comes back tomorrow, you're going to be ready. Tribulation comes, you're going to be ready. If you walk into the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, you'll be ready. And it'll be manifested in your life. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up. Let's everybody move around a little bit and get your blood circulating again. And then we're going to pray. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. I want y'all to repeat after me. The Holy Spirit honors the gospel. He honors the gospel. Dear Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. Died on the cross for my sin. Was raised from the dead. For my justification. Ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of the Father. Ever. To make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. In Him, I have redemption. Through His blood. The forgiveness of sin. According to the riches of His grace. Whereby I've been made accepted in the Beloved. I am accepted. I am not a rejected child. I repent. Of the sins of my ancestors, of idolatry and whoredom, of rebellion, of incest, of illegitimacy. In the name of Jesus, returning evil for good. In Jesus' name, I confess these sins and I ask forgiveness. I break the curse on me and my lineal descendants forever. I break them back 10 generations in Jesus' name. Now you spirit of the Antichrist, you spirit of the occult, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. I bind you in Jesus' name. I have forgiven everyone who's ever hurt me, used me, or abused me. And stop in for a minute. There's somebody in here who's got unforgiveness in their heart. Anybody in here who's got something against someone that it hurts when they think of their name and they get angry? You need to forgive them right now. Say, Lord, I forgive Johnny, Joe, Jim, or Sue. Lord, bring to mind anybody in this room that's got unforgiveness against anyone. Just bring it to mind so they can forgive, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And very quietly, audibly, say, Lord, bless them. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord Jesus, set me free. Set me free from the Antichrist. From the false anointing. From the deception. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I break any curses of the occult. For any occult involvement that I have been involved with. I confess it as sin. And I break the curse. And I bind these spirits. And I cast them out. For it is written in Joel 2:32. Anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Leave me now. In Jesus' name. And everybody sit down now. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I just break the power of rejection over God's people. All rejection, all pride and fear, I bind you. All you Amorites, all you Hittites, I bind you. All you spirits of the Amorite now, I bind you. All spirits of pride, rebellion, in the name of Jesus, stubbornness, scorning, bitterness, I bind you and I break your power. I break the power of divination now, the power of the Antichrist. All the false anointing spirits, all the religious spirits, all the spirits of the cult, all the occult spirits, I bind you and I break your power and I turn them loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All the spirits that came down from the sins of the ancestors from the Masonic Lodge, come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. All the spirits that came down through fraternities and sororities and secret societies, I bind and I break the power of it now in the name of Jesus Christ. I command it to go. Come on out there in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Go now. Go. All of you. Go in the name of Jesus. Leave. Leave God's people now in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people. I bind you and I break your power. Now, Jezebel, I speak to you. Celebi, Jezebel, Ishtar, Tinkah. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power. You leave God's people now. In the name of Jesus, leave God's people. I just break your power in Jesus' name. You cannot stay here in the name of Jesus. I just bind you and I break your power. Come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. All the Jezebel spirits, come out. All the Ahab spirits, come out. Wherever there's a Jezebel, there's an Ahab. Come out, Ahab, in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. All the spirits of false religions, come out. All the spirits of Pentecostal religions, come out. All the spirits of the Assembly of God, come out. All the spirits of the Four Square, come out. All the spirits of the United Pentecostal, Jesus only, come out. I bind you, all the Baptist spirits, all the spirits of the Rapture, all the spirits of Once saved, always saved. Eternal security. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. You come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I just bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave God's people in the name of Jesus. All the false anointings, come out. Come on out in the name of Jesus. All the spirits of false prophecy, all the spirits of false anointing in the name of Jesus. All spirits of false words, come out in the name of Jesus. False discernment, come out. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I command you to leave. Go. All of you, go. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. All spirits of stupor. All spirits of stupor in the name of Jesus Christ. Deaf and dumb demons, perverse demons, come out. Come out. All the strong, deaf and dumb and perverse spirits, I bind you in Jesus' name. You leave now. Leave God's people. All fear. I come against fear now. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of not being good enough. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of being rejected. Come out in the name of Jesus. Fear of, I bind fear. All tormenting fear. Tormenting fear. Grasshopper spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Try to take people back to bondage. Bondage spirits. I break the spirit of bondage in the name of Jesus. I bind you and command you to go. I speak the spirit of fear and heaviness now in the name of Jesus. I speak to the spirit of fear and heaviness. Heaviness, come out. All the heaviness spirits, come out. Come out. All spirits of heaviness, come out. All spirits of depression, I speak to depression in the name of Jesus Christ. All depression spirits, come out. I speak to narcissistic spirits. Come out, narcissism. Come out, narcissism, in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of bipolar and narcissism and rejection and depression, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to all sex spirits, all spirits of sexual, in the name of Jesus. I speak to spirits of psoriasis and nymphomania in the name of Jesus. And I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Go! Go! I bind all of you. And I bind you and I break your power. I break the power of compulsion now. I bring the compulsive spirits in the name of Jesus. Compulsion. Fear that drives compulsion. I gotta do it now. I gotta recheck it. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't get it done. It's not gonna be right. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. If I don't do it, they're not gonna like me. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I gotta do it to be accepted. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. 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 All you, come out. Come out. All you compulsive spirits. Come out. Come out. All you spirits of torment and unforgiveness. Come out. Anger and rage and hostility. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of fornication, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out. All original sex spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power. Come out. 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 All peeping Tom spirits, come out. All transvestite spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Transvestites, come out in the name of Jesus. Pedophilia, come out. I bind you and I break your power. Bind you in Jesus' name, I command you to go. Go in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. In the name of Jesus, go. I break your power. Go. I break the power of incest now. Incest, I speak to you. I bind you and I break your power. Come out. Fornication, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Fornication, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All pornography, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in Jesus' name. I command every one of you to be gone in Jesus' name. Go! 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 In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I break your power. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All spirits of nitpicking and criticism. All critical spirits now. All you nitpicking spirits, come out. Critical spirits, come out. Judgmental spirits, come out. In the name of Jesus Christ. All you judgmental nitpicking spirits, come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Go, go, go. In the name of Jesus. You can't stay there. You gotta leave now. You can't torment God's people anymore. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. All you critical spirits now. All you judgmental spirits, come out. Break your power and command you to leave. In the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you, Lord God, in Jesus' name.